Well, tonight we're going to look at Psalm 18. Psalm 18, and it's a longer psalm than the ones we've been looking at. And so I hope you have your Bibles with you and you'll open to Psalm 18. We'll be studying it together and looking at the various components of this psalm. I'm sure that we could find a considerable number of applications and lessons from this particular psalm. We're not going to be able to do that in one lesson. And so tonight, we're just going to kind of have an overview of this particular psalm and think about the basic message of it. And the basic message is that this is a song of victory. David wrote this psalm at the end of his life after all of his enemies had been defeated. In 2 Samuel 22 and verse 1, this psalm is produced in that part of the Bible, 2 Samuel. And verse 1 records this regarding this psalm. It says, "Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hands of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." And so here is a great song of victory. And you may already understand that David's message of victory has been consistent from the time that he stood and faced Goliath until his very last battle, perhaps in the rebellion of Absalom and his rebels. And so that message that is consistently found throughout David's campaigns is this: the battle belongs to the Lord. We sang that song this morning at the end of our service, and it comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 47. David was, in that context, talking to those who were trying to dissuade him from facing Goliath. And he, in amongst many other words, said this: "Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So the battle is the Lord's. That's what David's message is in this particular psalm. It's an extension of that thought, if you will, because throughout this psalm, David credits God with all of his victories. And so we have this great song of victory. One might even say it is a song of triumph. The psalm could be broken down in various different ways, but I've decided to break it down into seven different parts. First of all, there is praise, verses 1 through 4. Secondly, there is prayer, verses 5 through 7. There is God's power in verses 8 through 20, and protection in verses 20 through 31. We see David acknowledge God's preeminence in verses 32 through 37, and his predominance in verses 38 through 46. And the psalm circles around to where it was at the beginning, and David utters words of praise again in 47 through 51. Well, let's think about these seven parts of this psalm. It could be divided in other ways, I suppose, as one looks at the various thoughts that are there. But this division is what kind of stood out to me. Let's read verses 1 through 4 and talk about that for a moment. "I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." So praise is how this psalm begins. David tells us the Lord is worthy to be praised. And he expresses his love to God here in verse 1. I will love you. Now he assigns various attributes to God in his relationship with him. The Lord is his strength, his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his shield, his horn of salvation, his stronghold, his refuge. David seems to exhaust the thesaurus in describing the various different ways in which God provides shelter for him. And it is for these reasons that David praises the Lord. These terms are terms of safety and security that the Lord truly gives to his people. And because of this, David may trust God to save him from violence. He may call upon the Lord to be saved from his enemies. In all of these things, David says, makes the Lord worthy to be praised. How about us? Do we find ourselves praising God for our victories? You know, maybe we are not in the same kind of battle that David was in, that physical battle with spear and bows and swords, but we have spiritual battles that happen in our lives each and every day. And when we have victories in those areas, are we quick to give God the praise, to thank him for the victories? David did, and we should as well. Notice the role of prayer in this psalm. Looking at verses 4 through 7 here. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The arrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him even to his ears. Notice the conditions that David describes in which he uttered prayer to the Lord. Waves of death surrounded him. Floods of ungodliness made him afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded him. Snares of death confronted him. You know, the great enemy of mankind is death. Paul talks about how that will be the last enemy that will be defeated when Jesus Christ returns in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. David knew death, and he knew the horrors of it from firsthand experience. And he put his faith and trust in God to deliver him from these horrible circumstances and situations. He says he called upon the Lord. He cried out to God, and God heard his voice from his temple. David's cry entered God's ears. What about us? Do we turn to God when we are surrounded with difficult times, when death threatens, or when ungodliness rears its ugly head at us? There is so much ungodliness in the world today, and it is something that we must face on a daily basis. Prayer is the way that we need to face, confront, and overcome that ungodliness that may face our lives. David prayed, and we should pray also. Verses 7 through 20, we see the power of God that David recognized. He says, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me. For they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Notice God's power on behalf of David. David describes God's power over the earth with these various metaphors of power. He says, the earth shook, the foundations of heaven quaked, smoke went up from his nostrils, fire came from his mouth to kindle coals. He came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub, flying. He thundered from heaven. He uttered his voice. He sent out arrows to scatter the enemies. He sent out lightning bolts and vanquished them. He exposed the channels of the sea. He exposed the foundations of the earth. He did this by the blast of his breath. I believe that David is using the most powerful images that he can think of when he describes God's power here. And those images come from a thunderstorm and other great natural phenomena that take place. When we see the power of the lightning, the power of the storm, and the wind, we see great power. David describes God's power in these terms, letting us know that he is a God who is able to overcome. And he describes God's great power over his enemies. He said the Lord drew him out of many waters, delivered him from his strong enemies, those who hated him, those who were too strong for him. I think that's an interesting point. Are there things in this life that are too strong for us? I think there are. But with the Lord's help, we can overcome those things. See, the Lord supported David even in the day of his calamity, he says here. And I can't help but think and wonder if maybe David had in mind the great consequences of his own sin when he wrote that. The day of his calamity, there was a time when David fled Jerusalem because Absalom and his armies were coming, and David did not have the soldiers needed to defend. And so he escaped and left. He found support in other places and then renewed the fight. But the Lord supported him even in that. You know, sometimes we do have to bear the consequences of our own sins. And even though we must confess that we're responsible for those sins, and we're responsible for the consequences, the Lord graciously comes and helps us through them. Yes, he delivered David because he delighted in David. David was, after all, a man after God's own heart. Do we see God's power working in our lives every day like David did? We should look for that. In verses 21 through 31, we then see God's great protection. And God's protection isn't what we may think it is. And when looking back and seeing God working to conquer David's enemies with this great power, we may think, well, that is God's protection. But David describes God's protection in these next verses. Let's read them together. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. And that's the key thought right there in verse 30. He is a shield to all who trust in him. If we do not trust in God, he cannot be a shield for our lives. We've got to put our faith and trust in him as David did. That's why he talks about all of these things in verses 20 and following. Why did God delight in David? He was righteous. He had clean hands. He kept the Lord's ways. He did not wickedly depart from God. He honored God's judgments. He did not depart from God's statutes. He was blameless in them. He kept himself from iniquity. And the question, perhaps, that arises in our minds is, yes, but what about Bathsheba? Certainly David sinned in that whole incident, but he repented of his sin and he suffered the consequences of that. In that regard, God forgave David of his sin, and when he wrote this psalm, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write it, God looked upon David as if that sin had never occurred. Because David was covered. He was covered by the blood of Christ, the blood which would be shed over 1,000 years later. That blood went backwards as well as forwards. And because of that, he could say he was blameless and clean. And so God recompensed David according to the cleanness in the Lord's eyes. How does God recompense? David explains it. With the merciful, he shows himself merciful. With the blameless, God shows himself blameless. With the pure, God shows himself pure. With the devious, he shows himself shrewd. He saves the humble, and he brings down the haughty. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. And when we put our trust in the Lord, he will protect us, just as he protected David. Let's look at verses 31 and following as we think about God's preeminence. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. Think about the things that God did for David. You know, David magnifies God here for his greatness, and he uses the name of God. And he's used that name before in this psalm, but here he specifically says, "The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Well, that's verse 28. But he says, who is God except the Lord? That is the name of God right there. It's the Hebrew name Yahweh. And so he is particularly calling out the name of God here to acknowledge who the true God really is. There's only one true God, and that was David's God. And his name is Yahweh. The great I am, we would say today. So only Yahweh is God. Only Yahweh is the rock. And David magnifies him for who he is, first of all. But then secondly, for what he has done for him. It was God who was David's strength and power. It was God who made David's way perfect. It was God who made his feet like deer's feet, swift, who set him on high places and taught his hands to bend a bow of bronze. This is an amazing thing. I'm not an archer, nor never have I ever been, but I can imagine that a bow of bronze would be very difficult to use in archery. Even bows made of wood are very difficult to use, but one of bronze, a very hard substance, a hard metal, and a bow that was made of that, and David was able to take that bow and to draw it back with his strength, that's a strong, strong man. And he credits God with that strength, not himself. And he magnifies God for what God gave him. The shield of salvation, his gentleness, and a large path. That path being large was important so that David's feet would not slip. God is preeminent in all things. He is above us and greater than us, and he supplies us with what we need to be faithful to him. But then notice God's predominance here in verses 38 through 46. Starting in verse 37, we read, I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. God is predominant over all of David's enemies. He showed his predominance by delivering David, the one who was nothing compared to Goliath. God delivered. And then David, with God's deliverance, pursued and destroyed. He did not turn back. He did not allow his enemies to rise up against him. Again, they fell under his feet. And David credits God with the defeat of his enemies, because God was the one who armed David with strength, subdued those who rose against him, gave David their necks. God would not listen to the prayers of David's enemies, but rather he listened to David, and with God's help, he turned his enemies to dust. But God also delivered David from the strivings of the people, verse 43 tells us. The various problems that arise while governing a nation. He made David the head of nations. Strivings of people outside of his domain even. Foreigners submitted to him. They heard him and they obeyed him, because they were frightened of him. Why were they frightened of David? Because God was on his side. God is predominant, and he conquers all. In one way or another, God will reign and conquer us. It's only a matter of whether or not we will submit to him, or whether he will conquer us without our submitting to him. So we ought to get about the business of submitting to him and make it a lot easier on ourselves. And then the psalm ends once again with a word of praise. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. The psalm ends with David declaring God's reality. The Lord lives. Yahweh lives. Look at all these things he has done. He is the one who has accomplished the victories of David's life. And so David blesses him as his rock. He exalts him above all, proclaiming him the rock of his salvation. Notice he says it is God who avenges. It is God who subdues. It is God who delivers from enemies. It is God who lifts up those who rise up against him. God delivers from the violent. And for that, David gives thanks to the Lord. He gives thanks before the Gentiles. He sings praises to his name. He recognizes God as the tower of salvation. He recognizes God's mercy. And this mercy is for David and his descendants forevermore. We think about the descendants of David. We must also think about Jesus, for he was one of David's descendants. And being a descendant of David, when we begin our relationship with Jesus, we fall under the same great deliverance that God brought to David's life. Jesus, of course, today defines what it means for a person to be in a relationship with God. David had only a taste of that. We have so much more because in Jesus Christ, we know God in the flesh. Do we praise God the way that David praised him? Do we trust in Jesus the way that David trusted in Yahweh? David's song of victory is a song of praise, of prayer, of power, protection, preeminence, predominance, and praise. It is such a tremendous psalm from which we could learn many more things. But this song of victory, this song of triumph, has one predominant lesson, and that is this: the battle belongs to the Lord. Does the battle belong to the Lord in your life this evening? Have you given yourself to him to be his child? Remember what happened to David's enemies. The Lord did not hear their prayer. Why was that? Because they were not in a right relationship with God. We want God to hear our prayer. We need to get in a right relationship with him like David was in. And today that means hearing the word of God and believing it, repenting of our sins, confessing Jesus as Christ, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. If we will do that, we will stand in the same deliverance in which David stood, and God will be our rock of salvation. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, do so now while together we stand and while we sing.